Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f- So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Real Spoilers, powered by ReviewSTL.com.
Warning. Broadcasting from lush, but not lavish, studios located in the basement of the O'Keefe Institute for Advanced Film Snarkitude.
See how I remember.
I stuck with it. I didn't think you were going to stick with all that. All right, on. Okay.
This is Real Spoilers, episode 228, your Halloween special. I can't say for the weekend.
Special 2016.
Yeah. Dan, would you like to tell everybody what our specially hand selected film for our Halloween special extravaganza?
Deep in the archives. Yeah. So I even like at one point was like, you know what? I want to watch that just to seal this conversation. You know, like put it in a vault and stop it.
Right.
And then I was like, you know what? I'm not going to talk about it anymore because it just won't stop. And then you all were like, you know what we should do?
This is what you get for not being here.
It's Monster Squad. So it's freaking Monster Squad. And there you have it.
And now here's the deal. I have never seen Monster Squad.
Oh, good.
Because I was 35 when it came out.
Right.
And so I was 17.
I've never seen it either.
I watched it. Yeah, I think I was in college when it came out.
Yeah.
So what was the...
I was out of high school.
Was there a lot of hoopla around it when it was in theaters? Or was it kind of one of those like here and gone?
No. Here and gone. Nobody cared.
No. Okay. I watched it on home video cassette.
Yeah. That's how I saw it as well.
I probably rented it from the video store.
The what?
Yes. The video
pre-Blockbuster.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Mom and Pop.
This was the
Video Village.
Movies
or,
to Go.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It was probably Movies to Go.
Yeah.
So.
See? Yeah. Oh, we had one down in the city.
Hmm. Yeah. But I had never seen it. And so.
Same here.
What a piece of shit.
You
haven't seen it?
No.
Oh, my God. That's Tom and I had both seen it before.
And here's the funny thing. Like, right off the bat, I mean, you've got Stan Winston.
Yep.
Awesome. Richard Edlund. Awesome.
Yep.
Shane Black.
You would think.
And
Fred Decker.
And Fred Decker.
And you gotta just love any movie written by Black and Decker.
Right.
But I guess it explains why most of the characters are tools.
Yes.
So wait, do you feel the same way about the Goonies? Do you have the affinity for the Goonies or no?
I have zero affinity for the Goonies.
Okay.
But I will say that the Goonies is better than this.
I won't dispute. Okay.
I think the Goonies is bloated and kind of like, it goes pretty mawkish.
And I get what the Goonies was going for.
Totally.
I mean, when it came out, it was probably, when they came out, what, like 85, 86?
Yeah.
So I was just like a hair old for it. And it was just like, it just looked like a kid, like a little kid's movie. And I was just like, eh. So I honestly didn't see it until I was like 35.
Okay.
Yeah. The Goonies and Hook both were, I was kind of like, oh, just, you know, I'm sure I felt like if I were a little bit younger, it probably would have resonated a lot
more.
I don't
think Hook would have.
Yeah. It does for us, though.
Yeah, we love Hook.
It does. But, yeah, I mean, it was the same thing. I was like, ugh. And with this, though, I was like, it's everything I should have loved because, and I would have, and I thought to myself, I probably would have loved this. And right before I rewatched it, I was like, you know what? I probably would have loved this if I would have just been a little bit younger because it was everything I loved. I loved the monsters, the classic Universal monsters.
Got to move past that, man. That's never going to happen. Even Universal can't get that thing off the ground.
Well, I know, but, you know.
The casual homophobia.
Yeah.
I knew that there were certain words that were in this movie, I was like, it's 1987.
Yeah.
And, like, I feel like that was just part, like, those words weren't, In 87, though, like, those words weren't,
but it, I mean,
as demonized as they are today.
I think what I found more off-putting was that both the bad guys and the good kids united around the fact that they hated the queers.
Yeah,
you know,
right,
like,
right.
Like, they both were doing it.
Yeah,
like when it was the bad guy going, "Come on, fuck off!" Like, yeah. I was like, yeah, okay, he's a bad guy.
Trying to make him look like a bully.
That's an indicator. Yeah. Like, so, okay, you know, if you're watching a movie about slavery, I'm expecting a slaveholder to drop an N-bomb or two, mm-hmm. right? Like, that's, you know.
Sure.
But when the quote-unquote good kids were doing it, too, I mean, and it does say a lot about the time in which it was made. Yes. And how just...
How you could just, say it.
Yeah.
And it wasn't... And nobody cared.
Yeah.
But don't they, if I remember correctly, don't the kids right off the bat say that the principal or whatever is...
Yeah. Yeah,
gay?
Yeah.
Oh, and that's what they say right off the bat. Like, oh yeah.
At a certain point in the beginning, I'm like, okay, so where are the good kids? Where are the protagonists in this movie? Because right now everybody's an asshole.
Yeah,
but they're also like, I guess,
they're all
kids.
Assholes. Like everybody's an asshole.
All kids are assholes.
There's zero likability in any of these characters.
I
even Van Helsing right off the bat.
Yeah,
I'm like, oh, good job protecting the girl, dude.
Yeah. No, you know, that's...
But they say that in the scroll, where they're just like, and they screwed up.
And they blew it.
And they blew it.
But
yeah.
That's the difference between this and the Goonies, I think, is the Goonies have likable characters.
Yes.
That's why people relate to them, because people like those kids.
I would say that.
So watching this, having
like
seen...
I mean, his name is Chunk. So basically, we're looking at...
There's Chunk and Fat Kid.
Yeah, there's the difference between Chunk and Fat Kid.
Yeah.
And so one is less mean-spirited.
But they're just likable, you know? In the Goonies, you're just like rooting for those kids, were in this movie, you're just like, none of the characters resonated or were like, yeah, these
I was amazed how long it took for anything to actually happen.
It takes a little bit to get
longest hour and 20 minutes of all time.
Yeah, this is a really long
it's surprisingly
short movie.
We
should probably wait a minute.
What? Oh, I was just going to say, like, we're just going to, like, we never actually introduced ourselves.
No.
So let's do our introductions.
This is Dan.
This is Joe.
This is Kevin.
And this is Tom. I guess since it's not the film
du jour.
Right. We should probably do our shameless plugs real quick. So don't forget, we're available on iTunes. You can go there, rate, review, subscribe. If you go to our Facebook page, facebook.com/realspoilers, you can join the League of Show Sharers. Just click share and tell your friends how much you love the show. People who have done it this week: Chris James, Brett Schulte, Brent Smith, Timmy Two Zunes, Chris Sanders, Travis Tewitt, Griffin Fox Smith. And I love that name.
That's a good name.
He's got two animals in his name.
Yeah, right.
How do you not like that?
Yeah.
Well, a mythical one and then a real one.
Even better.
Yeah. Even better.
You know, he's got two animals and one of them is mythical. Come on.
I say for your next kid, that's the name.
I think that's been decided that there'll be no more kids.
I was like, that ship has sailed.
I've got a receipt and everything.
You have a scar too?
I can't.
Right on.
Not that limber.
Right.
I guess I have a scar. You should probably ask Crystal.
Yeah, fair enough.
She'd be more apt to know.
It's a gnarly one.
Too early. Too early.
Michael Tonkovic, Tom Comiskey, Tammy Sherman Powers, Jason Antris, Alex Perozzo, Julianne Jordan, Lane Levanway, and Dustin at Nerds at Night Gaming were all kind enough to share the show this week. So thank you, guys.
Thank you.
We greatly appreciate it. And no new reviews, but we had two last week, so I don't want to get greedy.
Overfilled.
Should have sat on one.
Yeah.
Maybe for the next show. Maybe by the next show, we'll have a couple.
I just got so excited.
Woo!
Yeah, you know how it is. So,
Kevin, whoever checked that email, we probably got like 50 emails from people.
Oh, yeah, I don't check that anymore.
Doubtful. So there's all of our business out of the way, and we will now jump into The Monster Squad. I think it's funny how on Amazon they completely... because I rented it through Amazon because I wasn't going to buy it. And
me either.
you didn't rent it either, did you?
There actually is... I found some website. It was like some one streaming app that actually you can watch it for free. But and I started watching it on that.
Yeah.
And they loaded it with commercials, so I was like 5 minutes. I'm like, no,
don't make this longer. I did that on Crackle with the Blues Brothers.
Yeah. But you said it was like a VHS,
and it was a really bad
dub.
It felt like every 4 minutes they were stopping for commercials, and then it was the same commercials, and it was just like, somebody take my $4. I will rent it.
Yeah,
and so
there you go.
That's what I did.
You don't own that movie.
I thought it, you know, I think I do. It was just with the move, it's buried in a box somewhere, and I'm like,
and we talked
like,
about this, like even if he does own it, he's not going to go open that case, wait for the preview, skip the chapters. Yeah. No.
That's one of the ones that I think there's an extended edition.
There is. The Blu-ray I have is extended.
Which I don't even have to watch it, because I watched the extended of Stripes sometimes. Have you ever watched that?
Terrible. Big mistake.
Like, I was like, this is, I'm glad they made the right call. Oh my God. It was
You can really tell in the extended version that it was intended to be a Cheech and Chong film.
When they get to that weird
that
scene.
That whole 20 minutes where they go to Colombia and they're with drug lords and rebels, and you're just
what are we doing? What is happening?
Yeah,
isn't it interesting that we've come full circle with film where, like, films shave things off, there's stuff left on the cutting room floor because it makes the movie more coherent, it makes sense to cut things, but now there has to be an extended version of each movie, and it's like, there's a reason why that stuff got cut for the most part.
Well, yeah, that's like, weird, because, like,
99 out of 100 times is a reason.
The sort of, like, I mean, James Cameron was always a director who, like, would always go, he would shoot long, and then when they'd edit, he'd just take entire plots out, and he'd just he wouldn't just like trim here and there, he'd just take this whole section of the stories out, which is why if you watch The Abyss, the original theatrical version, and then you watch the director's cut, it's like, well, that makes way more sense now,
right?
It's because he just took an entire chunk of the story out.
Director's cuts are different than extended editions.
Right.
That is different when the director actually has a certain vision and he cuts it a certain way. But now, seriously, Ghostbusters extended edition, like the new one, like every movie, Suicide Squad's gonna have an extended edition. They all have
figure out how to fix
like
that.
Peter
movie.
Jackson did it right with the original Lord of the Rings trilogy because, you know, it just
he cut out all
so
the
much
appendices and everything. Like, that makes sense.
But then he did. He was like, "Let's do it again," because they made so much money on home video, and they thought, "We'll do it again with The Hobbit." And first of all, you know, we all know that they should have just did two movies, but they did a third movie, and then they did the extended editions of a third movie.
Yeah,
first movie, I think, where you want a director cut that trims stuff.
Yeah.
Oh, absolutely.
There's Scream Factory put out this giant Halloween box set that has every single movie, but it also has, so Halloween 6 is this weird entry into the franchise where the producers, there's a producer's cut.
Huh.
But like, it's better. So like, I don't, maybe it's the directors. Either there's a cut of the movie where the producers chopped it all up and took stuff out, and then all of a sudden this bootleg version started showing up at like conventions that has like the original cut of the movie, so like you get like a really clean half hour and then there's like a 2 minute like clip that just looks like the most
garbage, not finished at all.
They just start throwing it in there. So Scream Factory ended up cleaning up the entire second cut of Halloween 6 and it's a completely different movie. Like, it doesn't even feel the same. Like, this is the one with Paul Rudd.
Yeah.
Where Paul Rudd shows up as Tommy Doyle from Halloween 1.
I cannot remember Halloween 6. I don't know. What is
Halloween
that even
Halloween 6
about?
Is, it's the last entry in, like, this, the official, or the unofficial original set. So, Jamie, who was the main character in 4 and 5, has grown up. She's been impregnated by Michael, her uncle.
Oh, Lord.
They end up killing, like, they wanted Danielle Harris to come back, who played Jamie in 4 and 5. And she was just like, "You're going to kill me in the first 5 minutes?" They're like, "Yeah, we're going to gut you on, like, some random giant machine." And she was like, "No, I'm not going to do it." And they were like, she's like, "You know what? I'll do it, but you're going to give me like $3 million. And they were like, "No."
Did they kill her off so they couldn't have her have this weird baby?
No, she has the baby.
Oh.
And like, that becomes a point throughout the movie that Michael is trying to get to the
baby.
Like,
get to his baby?
So get to his child.
Oh, okay.
Throughout the entire
movie. Are they like, "Yeah, we screwed up. We could not have
but
this
like,
Michael Myers baby."
No.
We're
gonna... It's all
okay.
in there. It's all in there.
So I have never seen that movie.
Yeah, it's obviously it's just another entry into that franchise, and then they rebooted it with H2O, which was like supposed to pick up where the
does that have Josh Hartnett in it?
Josh Hartnett's his first movie,
yeah,
but it's like they bring back Jamie Lee Curtis,
right.
She's Laurie Strode, but that picks up the storyline from Halloween 2 and completely negates 4, 5, and 6, and that's how then they did Halloween 7, no 8, and then they rebooted it with
I would like to point out that even he's not talking about Monster Squad.
Well, you got to start talking about Halloween.
The funny thing about all this is all of these movies we mentioned are better than Monster Squad.
No, they're not.
Halloween 6 is not better than Monster Squad.
No, it's not. I haven't seen it, but I'm willing to bet.
That challenge.
So, yeah. So, this one, the flick opens up with Van Helsing trying to get to this amulet that will destroy Dracula once and for all. And then, so they have to bring in this...
As played by what's his name from Love at First Bite? George Hamilton.
Yeah.
I was like, that Dracula seems strangely out of the contextual times that he's supposed to be.
Yeah, it was... Yeah, but I just feel like he was just doing a Bela Lugosi impression.
Not really.
Not well. You know, like...
Was he?
Like, the costume was similar.
I was reading, like, the trivia on... for this movie.
Oh, yeah.
While I was watching it, because that way I didn't have to watch it. And and like one of the entries was like, you know, his Dracula is considered one of the finest. And it was
I
like,
don't think no. that's true.
I was like, what? Like, who's writing this?
His agent.
Yes. Yeah. Who is also his mother.
Yeah. And I liked the makeup. Like the makeup from where, because he changes from a vampire bat to a human. I like all the makeup was good because Stan Winston was
probably
at the top of his game at the like
cool little sequence where the bat changes into a man. Human, and it's like, well, maybe this is better than I thought.
And then it kept going. So like they screw it up, and I just feel like they set the tone right away in that scroll.
Did they end up in the same place that Ash did in Army of Darkness?
Yeah. Which I thought was like, what year? That was what, 93?
Oh, did he end up in a bad movie too? Yeah.
The swirling vortex of
Of awfulness.
I'm like, that's the same thing that Ash went into.
But in all fairness, this came out before Army of Darkness.
By the way, what was the disco ball that they were talking to? Because there was some sort of big disco shiny thing. I was like,
the amulet?
Yeah.
Yeah. It was just an amulet.
The MacGuffin. I'm sorry.
Yeah. Right. So then
same year. So Evil Dead 2 is the same year as this. And that's when he goes into the portal.
Is that Evil Dead 2 was 87?
Yeah. And this is 87.
When was Evil Dead 1? 81?
Mm. Oh, not that early, was it?
No. It wasn't that early.
Let me just delete the 2 here from my search. Evil Dead was 1981.
Yeah.
Huh. Wow, that was a bit of time.
Yeah. It was a huge gap. Yeah. Yeah. So. They screw it up, and then we flash forward to present day, which present day is not really, like, it's 1987.
It's
so,
kind of funny when it says present day, you're like,
no, it's not.
You're like, this is an episode of Stranger Things. I mean, if it sucked and was homophobic.
Golly. I'm going to keep defending you guys. I don't care.
You know, what's funny is there will probably be people listening that are outraged, because, like, this has a very strong cult following.
I went to Late Night Grindhouse.
By Shane Black, apparently.
Yeah. I went to Late Night Grindhouse on Friday night with a friend of the show. Andy
Triptych?
Triptych.
Yeah.
What?
Perfect. Andy Triptych.
Oh, good. Perfect. Yeah.
Yeah.
Good one. Thanks. Yeah. And so, like, we were sitting there after we saw how he did Halloween 2. So we're sitting there talking after it. And, like, we were both in the same boat. Like, he and I both are just like, yes. Like, that movie is fantastic. And he was just like, I feel like I remember Dan not liking it. And I was like, no, that's true. That's a thing that happened. But yeah, like, it's. So you're what, 25?
No, I'm 30 in March.
I just feel like
just
this
trying
group,
to find the optimum age there.
Well, I'm just
I was
I'm
born in 87.
I'm trying to think of like the age group where this movie hits, because it does hit. Like there's a group of people.
How old were you when this came out?
87. No, I would have been five.
Five. So yeah. Did you
but
see
I saw it
later?
I saw it later on VHS.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, so it would have been like in the 90s probably when I saw it.
So I was probably
89.
A little young, I mean, to pick up on it. So.
Kevin messaged me. He was like, is it okay if Ryan watches this? And I was like, probably
not.
Yeah,
I watched them. Like, yeah, I'm glad I didn't have him watch it when they're like dropping the expletives.
I don't
and,
think that's a good idea.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think that this movie does like, they didn't crowdfund that 25th anniversary edition. Like that was something that was like sought after, and then there was enough buzz behind it that they got it.
Yeah, they did like a reunion at the Alamo Draft House.
Yeah, it was and it was a huge deal. Like it was huge. So yeah, so they go to present day and
did Tom Noonan go?
I hope he did. Tom Noonan, who was in House of the Devil, if you haven't seen that, I recommend that. It's by the same guys that did Year Next and The Guest, like that whole group of guys. He's really good in that too. Tom, he shows up everywhere, and I was like, hey, that was Frankenstein. That's who that guy was.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Did Uncle Rico go?
Uncle Rico probably was not. Well, he may be. He's not. He's got nothing else going on. If he's waiting for that Napoleon Dynamite reunion.
Yeah.
It's funny that to you, he's Uncle Rico, and to us, he's Hollyfeld.
Yeah.
What's that?
From Real Genius.
Yeah. Yeah.
I didn't even think of that.
He's the guy who lives in the basement. Yeah. Real Genius.
Yeah. So you guys realize he was the Wolfman in this?
Mm-hmm.
I was like, that's funny.
Yeah. You only see him for like 2 minutes.
Right.
Otherwise, he's the Wolfman the entire time.
Otherwise, there's that fantastic transformation in the phone
booth. That's a good transformation.
I like the phone booth transformation.
Yeah, that's good. Yeah.
I thought that was well done.
I like the transformation in the back
not
of the
really
ambulance.
A transformation.
Too.
They went around a corner and then
that's how they used to do it. But two, I thought it was done really smooth.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. You know oh, yeah. Like, it didn't look.
I thought, you know.
It worked well, yeah. But I'm just like, you didn't see him, like, transform. It was, you know, one scene and then went around a corner, it went black, and then he was just in the costume. Yeah. So it was like.
No, that's in the original Wolfman, like, it was.
That's how they do it.
Yeah. It was,
like, nowadays, though, you couldn't get away with that. Like, nowadays, you'd have to see a cool, elongated finger.
Yeah,
like, you'd
all,
have to
but
see
it'd all
a
be CG, and it'd be stupid.
They didn't. What about in the. What was that? Benicio del Toro.
So there was Rick Baker was on that movie.
Yeah. Yeah.
But a lot of that was CGI.
Yeah.
He did like the prosthetics when you see him in full, like when he's
somebody
Wolfman.
Else was on that movie too. Then they like switched directors.
There was a problem with it and they brought in Joe Johnson from Captain America and the Rocketeer to finish it.
Yeah.
So gets the director's credit. Yes. But yeah, like
I
the
thought that was a pretty good transformation.
The transformation
though,
is the transformation's all CG.
Yeah.
The makeup is the final product.
Yeah.
Is what it looked like after the fact. So we're introduced to our first two kids, and they're getting in trouble in the principal's office because they're drawing monsters, and the principal doesn't like monsters. And then we're introduced to Fat Kid, who gets bullied by the kid that always plays a.
Was
David Faustino.
That's what is. So he's
the brother on
Wonder Years.
Wonder Years. Yeah. Yeah, I'm like, okay.
Yeah, he was in.
He's Marty's.
Trimmers.
Oh, he is in Tremors, isn't he?
He's a douchey kid.
Yeah,
in Tremors.
Yeah. He's never a good guy.
No,
ever. He was Marty's uncle in Back to the Future 1.
Yes,
he was just like, you have two TVs.
Yeah,
yeah. So he, you know, he rips up his comic book. Which, you know what? I've been in that situation. That sucks. You know?
Yeah, I actually thought of Joe, and I was pained a little bit when, as soon as he goes up and rips his comic book half, I'm like, Joe just died a little bit.
That sucked. Granted, I wasn't walking around with a giant Snickers bar.
Yeah, but don't,
well.
Yeah, don't worry, Bicycle Fonzie shows up.
I know
it's
great.
So weird,
so
like,
funny.
What movie thinks kids act like?
Yeah.
What did this kid like? Apparently, he got stuck in the space butthole.
Yeah, right.
And appeared from 1950.
Yeah,
because he's got the loafers
and the high socks.
When he rolled up on his bike, I'm like, what? Who? So he just rides a bike around school.
That's
Rudy,
man. What?
I feel like that was like not Corey Feldman. That was my first impression
like
when
we
he pulled
can't
up.
Get Corey Feldman.
I'm
so.
Like, that's not Corey Feldman right there.
Well, and the funny thing is, he shows up in the 80s, and they're actually like threatened by him. I'm like, really? Because I think they would have laughed at him.
They would have laughed at this.
Why
kid.
Were those kids
hey,
so
Bowser.
Scared of him?
Yeah, like, they didn't want to mess with him. He was so cool that he could pull that look off. And they're like, no.
I think it was because they thought he was clinically insane.
Yeah. They're like, look at this kid. He's nutso.
They were scared of the crazy.
He just lit a match off of the back of his loafer.
Yeah.
So, yeah. So, this is, we get, all of our characters are kind of ended up together. They have like a treehouse and they're part of the, they don't really call themselves the Monster Squad.
I will give it up. I thought that was a pretty sweet treehouse.
That was a sweet treehouse. Yeah.
In my mental notes, I was like, Treehouse is cool.
It's just laden with monsters.
It was easy. My mental notes are easy.
Yeah, right. Yeah. I'm sure they are.
There's
Treehouse.
I think there was one moment in the film where I was like, that's cool.
Yeah.
Credits?
No. No, there's an actual moment in the film that I thought was cool.
Which one?
We'll get there.
All right, fair enough.
So you got a ways to go.
Right
now, you're not even close.
So they, you know, they're doing the, they're talking about being, you know, the monsters, and they're doing their thing, and then Rudy, not Fonzie, is like checking out the one kid's sister.
Yeah,
which
he
was
enjoying
like,
their club, which I was like, yeah, I don't think so. But okay.
Oh, the kid's sister who the kid asks her if she's a virgin.
Which I thought was funny when she was like, well, there was that one time. And he was like, come on.
Yeah.
I'm trying. We end up on the airplane.
Oh, yeah. There's the two pilots are transporting a
sarcophagus
over.
I hate flying around
wherever.
These
over,
dead
yeah,
bodies.
Over nobody knows. Like, they don't know where they're coming from. They don't say where they're coming from.
Mm-hmm.
And so I guess Dracula was sucked through the portal. Is that
because they never? Like, I have no idea.
That they never say how he ends up in present day,
there's or how he ends up finding like a 600-year-old mansion in this suburb,
right?
Yeah. Or why all of the monsters happen to be there
at the same time?
Yeah.
At least in Abbott and Costello, they're like, no, we thought we bought you know, the fake or the the actual.
I would like to point out that you're saying that an Abbott and Costello movie is better
at
plotted.
Least. Than Abbott and Costello. Yeah, that's a great movie. Like that's
I love Abbott and Costello movies, but they're not exactly known for their plotting.
they don't have everything quite buttoned up.
Right.
But you know, but at the time though, it was a grand new idea for fun.
Oh, I was like, what do you there it is. It
says on the poster. Right, a grand new idea for fun. And it was.
I know, that's why I said don't lie.
They weren't underselling it.
No, they weren't. We also get a look at our leader's like family life. So his dad's a detective. His parents are kind of on the rocks, which I feel like is just the all
not John Bernthal,
not John Bern John Bernthal's dad.
Right?
Yeah.
I feel like that was always a thing in 80s cop movies
or
Shane Black movie. Yeah, what like the, I can't, your main cop is.
I was like, oh, here's Shane Black's part.
Yeah,
I know when it was a Shane Black movie, I was like, now how is he going to figure out a way to have a monster movie take place at Christmas? Yeah, thought for sure that was going to be.
Yeah, get some Nat King Cole in there somewhere.
Yeah, right.
A glass coffee table breaking.
Somebody has to fall through it.
Yeah,
you don't have a choice.
From a balcony.
Yeah.
On a way, that's a different
that's
genre.
That's a Western. Yeah, don't do that. Oh, man, combining genres. That's not a good idea. So the kid is just kind of like, he's sitting. And one of the scene, like, I wished upon wished that there was, like, a drive-in theater where I could sit on my roof and watch the movie. Yeah. And then, like, that was one of the scenes I was like, I want that so bad.
I know. I'm like, when I saw that, I'm like, wow, what a great location. Free movies forever.
Forever. At least until they tear the drive-in down.
I was just going to say, it was a really crappy viewing angle.
It was. Yeah. Yes.
It was, like, was free. You were a kid, though, and it was free. You could watch these R-rated movies.
Yeah, and your radio picked up the FM station.
But it also shows this is a perfect example of the time they were living in, because they let their little kid go out on a roof like you could easily fall off of. Like, there was clearly the most
unsafe. There is no parental supervision in these like in this movie
but
whatsoever.
The dad comes out though and he's fine. He's not like today it'd be like, get off the roof, you're gonna fall.
Yeah, I mean, like the dad came out and he had some cheeseburgers, and they sat there and
some product placement
had the kid
stole the kid's
Pepsi. Product placement.
Here's my bag of Burger King.
You see his Pepsi?
Oh, was it Burger King?
Yeah.
Okay. Pepsi.
Yeah.
The dad picked up the Pepsi and drank it with the logo.
I always think of it as just like random burger.
But
place.
This is also after an extremely violent altercation at the police station. The dad did not seem to be. I was like, whoa,
that's Shane Black though. Shane Black, he had cops killing people all the time.
There was like the guy kept saying, I'm a werewolf. It's a full moon.
You gotta lock me up.
This is where Wolf Lives Matter started.
Yes, I'm sure this is exactly where it was.
So he shoots him point blank in the chest multiple times, but then he's still alive.
So it was a shot with silver bullets.
Yeah.
But what I'm saying is, what did the police...
No, they thought he was dead. The body was stolen.
He stopped.
The body went away.
They put him in the back of an ambulance.
Okay.
And then the full moon pops up and he changes.
And then they're like, oh my God, bodies are disappearing. That was a plot point.
Yeah. So and then they go show up at the museum and the mummy has walked away, which I would like, it's so ridiculous where he's just like, dead bodies just don't get up and walk away.
So is the mummy supposed to be... The invisible man? He had nothing underneath his wrappings?
Well, I figure he's just deteriorated to the point where there's nothing there.
Huh.
That's the way I always thought of the mummy.
Yes, that's how I took it.
Really?
Yeah, that he just had turned to dust.
You know, I don't think I've ever seen the Boris Karloff. I always feel like the mummy was the lamest of the lame.
It's worth seeing.
Yeah?
The spookiness isn't the mummy. It's all the Egyptian sort of ritual stuff.
Okay.
It is a classic for a reason.
Oh, yeah, one of those things where I was like, I get it.
I know. It's like, oh, here he comes, the mummy. Well, if you just light him about 20 minutes, I will run.
If you just torch him.
When he gets here.
This is over.
Well, yeah. But there's other stuff that is actually kind of creepy.
Okay, all right.
You know.
And Boris Karloff is both the mummy and then like...
The priest or whatever. Okay, right. I don't know.
So, yeah, so now all of our monster, like... The plane that I was talking about is transporting Frankenstein's monster. Dracula shows up and drops the body into a lagoon randomly.
Sewer. But okay.
Yeah, okay.
A swamp.
Right,
or
a swamp.
This place has this town has everything.
This
got
is the greatest town ever.
They've got a swamp.
They got a drive-in theater.
They got a drive-in theater. You can see from any angle.
A convenient Burger King.
Yeah.
Just right on the way home from the police station.
Yeah, totally. Yeah.
Perfect.
So this is where all of the monsters show up at the same time. Like, they all meet in the swamp. Like, they had a, you know, like, oh, I got that meeting at
I've got a swamp
10:30.
Thing.
Yeah, I got a swamp thing. Yeah. Man, that's going to be
better.
Yeah.
That's better than this.
It's a different better. Mm. That movie's not good either. It's a different kind of movie.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Is it called better?
No, it's not. That's not his first movie.
It's a different kind of movie.
That's the second one. Wes Craven?
No, that's not his first one. Yeah, he had like Hills Have Eyes, I think, before that.
All right. So yeah, we've got all our monsters together.
You don't start with Swamp Thing. You got to work your way up to that.
Yeah, right. Yeah. You got to go from,
cold into the Barbeau land. All right.
Bar-boops. You got to work your way up.
Adrian Barboops. So all of our, you know, we've got all our monsters together. We've got all our kids together. And then they introduce a creepy German guy.
Oh. Yeah. Not creepy at all. Hey, kids, come to my house. Yeah. And,
so now let's toss in a little anti-Semitism.
Is it, though? Because he totally, like... Well, what was the line where he shows his tattoo?
Well, they get that weird.
He's like,
maybe I do a monster.
You sure know a lot about monsters. He's like, maybe I do. And then you see his concentration camp tattoo.
Yeah, there's beats in this movie where you're like, what?
They're very adult. Very adult beats.
But they don't, you know, okay.
Again, it's very telling of the times because no one would let their kids hang out with that guy in his house.
Well, it's also I wish it was more of tonally that movie.
Adult version.
But no, let's go back to those asshole kids.
Yeah. There's like a good movie like trying to fight its way out.
Yeah,
this
is where I think I don't know if it's more that, you know, it's Fred Decker versus Shane Black in this movie because you've got two totally different types of writers.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And they don't really mix well.
Is this Shane Black's first? No.
I don't know.
Lethal Weapon was 87, I think.
Because Die Hard was 89. I watched Night of the Creeps. And that's definitely it's better, but it's still... I mean, I think that at least adheres closer to its own sort of land.
Yeah.
Like it stays close to its own, like, it stays within its own
where
territory.
It's supposed to stay.
You know, so it doesn't, like, totally where you're like, what?
Yeah.
So I think Decker's definitely got more of the campy cheese.
Yeah, okay.
And then you've got Shane Black, who brings in, like, the thing about the Holocaust and, you know, the sort of, like, the shootout at the police station.
Right.
You can tell it's like, when it gets like a little more serious, I think that's Shane Black.
Yeah, probably.
And Lethal Weapon and Monster Squad came out both in 87.
Okay.
Sorry.
So
I think Shane Black brings in a lot of those beats at the end where they're trying to have that really cool stick the landing moment.
Yeah.
Like, my name is Horace. And like, you know.
Yeah.
And they try to do that like three times.
Yeah.
And it really only works.
And that last time?
That time.
Yeah.
The my name is Horace part.
Yeah.
But like, when the kid's like, bang. I'm like, what?
You mean with a shotgun?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Like, I felt like that was calling back to something that got cut.
Yeah, I mean, there's nothing, like, they have interviews with the kids for the, I think everybody's, yeah, I'm pretty sure everybody is still alive.
No, the kid who plays Horace is dead.
That kid is dead.
He died of pneumonia in 1997.
Yeah, that's, I knew there was something.
I didn't just read that on Wikipedia. I know that.
I'm sure you do, yeah. But there's no extra scenes. Like, there was nothing that they had. Because usually with, like, those, with movies like this and they get that special treatment, they just throw everything.
Right.
Like, they just throw everything they've got
left. Anything you can get.
Anything, they throw it on there.
Right.
And if there's nothing else on there as far as, like, deleted scenes.
This movie's, like, an hour and 20 minutes.
It was 122.
Yeah.
It was.
And that includes a...
the credits.
That includes a full song from Michael Cimbello.
Yeah.
Over the credits.
With the Monster Squad got their own theme.
Mm-hmm. That song is brutal.
That song is bad.
Yeah, that's when that played, I'm like, turning this off.
It's, it's one of those like classic like 80s movies theme songs where it's like... and then they
got those drums.
And then they recap the entire movie.
Right.
It's like a book report set to music.
With some guy who's kind of scream singing.
It sounded like a... Yeah. It sounded like a rap.
It did sound like a rap.
You know, when it played,
it's no Dream Warriors.
But I'm like, is he rapping? This is like a Monster Squad rap.
Yeah. And you know what Michael Cimbello is famous for, right?
No.
He sang Maniac from Flashdance. She's a maniac.
Really?
That's him too. On the floor. Yes. That's Michael Cimbello.
And it's got that same kind of... quality.
Yeah. And then the lyrics of the song, because I looked them up.
Oh.
And it's it starts off like, in 100 years in the darkest night, the forces of evil come out to fight the amulet they must destroy. You know you're having trouble when you're already playing.
Yeah, you're already
playing with syntax to force the rhyme. And spin forever in the darkest void. And then you don't even stick the landing on the rhyme. You just rhymed void and destroy. That's not rhyming. That's not how that works. But then the song
just throws some of those electronic drums over that part. Sounds like a rhyme.
But the song completely recaps the film. Yeah. And then
we should have just played the song.
Yeah. Saved us all an hour and 20 minutes.
of IMDb scrolling.
Right.
Did you rewatch this recently just so you could...
When's the last time you watched
it? We all suffered through it.
Yeah, I did. I watched it last night.
Yes, okay. I have no doubt.
Just making sure.
So, but the thing that really threw me off in the lyrics is at the end is he's like, and you'll never see such a ghastly sight when the Monster Squad saves the world tonight. Are you rooting for the monsters, Mr. Cimbello? Yeah. Is that what you're telling us? Yeah. Like, it's very odd.
He's just like, no, I kind of didn't want him to win.
And
life sucks, so whatever.
You could have said, like, amazing sight, or, you know what it is, is he, like, went to, like, a thesaurus, and he pulled up, like, all sorts of, like, creepy, haunted words.
That's a good one.
He's like,
ghastly.
He's all the way at the end,
he's like,
oh, son of a bitch, I haven't used ghastly yet.
I'll put it here at the end, most inopportune spot.
You forget, this is before post-credit scene, so he knew no one was staying through this.
Yeah.
Right.
He's like,
whatever.
The check cleared. Yeah. It's fine.
Yeah.
So they are, let's see. It was late last night when I watched this movie too. So it's become very apparent that now Dracula and his cronies are in town, but you get a funny scene with
yes, you do.
With the mummy in the kid's closet. Like, and of course, like, the douchebag dad.
Yeah.
Who's just like, there's nothing there. And
why was that mummy there?
I don't know.
I was rewinding. I'm like, let me scroll back here. No,
he just appears
just
there.
Just somehow
he came from, into the closet.
I'm going to go into that random house there, get in their closet.
And it was weird. The way the dad portrayed it, too, was really odd. Like, because I feel like they were trying to make him like a douchebag dad, but it's almost like he was like lovingly joking about it. He's like, oh, there's a monster. Like, it was just a weird portrayal. I'm like, what are they doing here? that guy knew there were cameras in the room. Like, this must have been found footage. Right, yeah. He knew he was in front of a camera because he was like putting on this performance for the kid.
He's like, I'm gonna get another crack at this. I gotta own this performance right now. Phoebe, who is the main character's little sister, has found Frankenstein
again. Man, are they just a bunch of tools? It's like, lighten up on the little girl, folks.
No, like I hear what you're saying, but
that's how it would be.
The age gap between me and my sister is about that. Yeah. And she and I did not get along probably until we were in high school.
You would not have let her in the Monster Squad.
No
way.
Hell no. Yeah. No, get out of here, Phoebe the Phoebe. I'm in that age range where like this movie is like I was the age of these kids when I saw this movie.
So you were a tool.
Oh yeah, got absolutely.
I see why the movie appeals to you so much.
Like it hits everything.
Yeah.
You know. So she brings Frankenstein over to like hang out with the Monster Squad, which I, like
montage.
Yeah, it was hilarious. Yes.
Like, if I remember correctly, this was 45 minutes into the movie.
Yeah, this is like,
and then you get another 40-minute montage. Yeah.
Right, right.
This is like, I'm hanging out.
That's what I mean. I'm like, what is going on here? I'm like, oh, this movie's over in a half hour. It feels like I've been watching it for 2 hours.
Right, and then it ramps up where
Okay,
we get to certain.
Oh, you could call that a ramp.
Yeah, we get to
slight incline.
No, let's talk about this montage.
Okay,
shall we?
Yes, please.
It's so zany.
It is.
It's some zaniest.
It is zaniest of zany. So he goes, the montage, each kid is like doing something to prepare for battle.
Right.
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 And then the one kid, his preparation is business cards.
Yes.
Well, because you have to, if we've learned anything, vampires are going to need their business card.
Yeah.
Vampires are definitely afraid of paper cards.
To close out the movie.
Yeah.
Well, it's made
of, you know, that paper, that garlic, business card.
It's garlic papayas is what it is. That's what it's on, just in case they have to.
That business card is going to be like, when that business card gets used, that is going to be the pinnacle of the film.
It's going to be a real zinger.
It's going to be a big deal.
So, business cards. Okay. Yeah. So, meanwhile, Fonzie's doing all the heavy lifting. Yeah. He's over there making wooden stakes, silver bullets.
He gets it.
And this kid's like, I've developed a business plan.
Yeah.
I figured out ways we can monetize this moving forward. Like, I've developed a logo.
Yeah.
Like,
well, check this out.
Yeah.
I'm sure.
He's like the Lex Luthor of his time.
I'm sure Rudy's like, yes.
I made logos for all the characters. Don't worry.
So, then the montage ends with Fonzie getting photos from the photo.
Oh, right.
From Fox Photo.
Fox Photo.
Yeah. Another product
yeah.
place.
Oh, yeah. They were discounted, weren't they?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so I guess they're supposed to be like naked pictures of the 15-year-old.
Yeah.
So he.
The sister. Who I feel like is like 17.
What?
Yeah. I don't think she's 15. I don't think so.
Because they said she was 15 at one point.
No, I don't think they ever say she's 15.
I don't think she was that old, like 17.
Yeah,
I thought her as being younger.
I mean, like, if she's 15, then she openly admits to having sex with somebody at, like, 14. Because
it was the 80s.
That's true.
It's a different time, yeah, for sure.
I don't disagree.
But
so, like,
now.
Yeah.
So he finds pictures of her in a compromising position.
Yes.
Yep. That he then uses to blackmail her.
Correct.
Right.
Into
saying this German phrase, scripture.
To going along with their shenanigans.
Right.
And so then the other thing is that the final shot of that montage is Frankenstein,
with the Playboy,
has the pictures.
Yeah.
Oh, I thought it was
No, he's got the photo.
He's got the photo.
And he's looking at it, grinning.
Right.
So apparently not Alden's dead.
Nope. And, if young Frankenstein has taught us anything.
Yeah, he's like, something else has come back to life. And all the kids are jumping up trying to get the picture so they can see the naked girl.
Mm-hmm. Including her brother.
Including the little sister.
Well, even the little sister wants to
the little sister.
I feel like the little sister
jumping,
is just doing what everybody else is doing. Like, since she sees her brother and her brother's friends jumping up
in the... I think as a filmmaker, even if you're trying to go for this joke, maybe you leave the 6-year-old girl out of this particular shot.
That's a fair thing to say.
Just even by 1987 standards.
Yeah, right, right.
I think you leave
that alone.
You don't have the 6-year-old girl trying to get in on looking at naked pictures
of possibly a 17-year-old.
Right.
Right. Or maybe 15, depending on what they say. So we get to this. What they've been preparing for is they're going into this house where the amulet is being kept. This is where you get I would think the most famous line of the movie is, you know, kick him in the nards. Wolfman doesn't have any nards.
Yeah.
And then they kick him in the balls.
And what do you know?
He has balls.
Yeah.
Wolfman has nards.
And they really stuck the landing on that.
That's one of the scenes. That is a scene that I always take away. That's the one thing that I always remembered the first time I saw it as a kid.
It boils down to the
kick him in the balls.
It's a dick joke.
Yep.
Yeah.
I was impressed that this movie was able to use the word dork as both a noun and a verb.
Yeah.
This is true.
His wolf dork?
Yeah.
Yeah. And then
and
he
they
says,
said dork, dorker, or whatever.
You were getting dork.
You're getting dork. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's pretty good. That's not really.
Is it?
No.
Is it pretty good?
No.
Okay.
It's not. Just checking. So, yeah, they They get the amulet. They have a, you know, fat kid gets...
Wait a minute. Hold on. Why would Wolfman not have Nards? When he transforms, the Nards disappear? He was a man.
Right. Right.
He's I was just thinking, why? Yeah, why would he not have Nards? Like, why
would that... I do know for a fact that wolves also have Nards. So right, yeah.
I think if I...
Wait a minute. He's a Wolfman, so yeah, he might not have Nards.
We like to encourage people to have their Wolfman spayed and or neutered.
Yeah.
That's true. I get that.
Who is a fat kid that kicks him?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, it's because fat kid's an idiot. He's like, no, of course they don't have balls. You're an idiot, yeah, fat kid. It's also, like, I know that the creature is one of your favorite Universal monsters.
You mean yes. Gill Man?
No, no, I mean, like, the original creature. That's what I'm, you know, I'm trying to...
Gill Man.
I do think it's funny that they were just like, we need one more.
Yeah.
But we need him sparingly because that costume is ridiculous.
Yeah.
In a good way. Like, that's a good costume.
It is. It's pretty much true to the creature except for the
face is
the face.
Right?
Then it's the predator.
Yeah, right.
I mean, when he gets shot, I think I cheered.
Well, yeah, you're supposed to. He's a bad guy. And he's just like, he's crushing cops' heads off. You know,
yeah, it's
no, because I didn't have to see that costume anymore.
That costume's a good costume. Like, that's in it for 1987. Come on. You know, like, good Lord.
I was like, yes, they killed that thing.
Well, I mean, I would rather watch that than George Hamilton from Love at First Bite.
Yeah.
I'm like, wow, that Dracula is terrible.
He's hamming it up.
That Alucard is terrible.
Yeah.
There's a big fight in the street of this little town, of like the town square, I guess is what it is.
Yeah.
So you get Gilman gets shot in the chest by Horace, who I feel like the way he's holding that shotgun, it should have missed everything. Like, there's no way he had any aim whatsoever.
Also broken a few ribs.
Yeah, exactly. He's got it like tucked up under his arm. And I was like, you know, that's Shane Black, you're a very good writer and you know how to write action scenes. I feel like you should know how that kid should hold a gun.
Yeah.
So they kill that guy.
The mummy's already dead.
Mummy was on the back of a car.
That's the cool part.
Where he gets unravels.
Where he unravels. Where they like take the bow and arrow and they like put
Fonzie wraps a piece of his bandage around this bow and arrow and
shoots it into something and then they unravel as the car because he's hanging off the back of the car. I thought that was a cool scene.
It is a cool scene.
That's what I was questioning. I'm like, so if he unravels, like, there's just nothing there?
Yeah, I mean,
if he's an old mummy, he's disintegrated, there's nothing left. Turned to dust.
But the bandages keep his form until...
Remember, man, that you are dust, and to dust you shall return.
Yeah, we don't have to see him anymore. No. So it's like, okay, he's good, gone. We're one down. And then...
So we get to the wolf man who is just tearing through. I love werewolf movies.
But you hate transformations.
When I was a kid, I did. When I was a kid, I couldn't get through those. Like, the two scenes in this movie, I was like, fast forward, and we're done. And, like, I like the finished product.
Because I was saying, we've established this, that you hate things turning into other things, right?
Because
why he likes this movie, because it's never going to turn into a good one.
You're crazy. It doesn't have to turn into a good one, because it already is a good one. Yeah, like,
no, it's a great one, Dan. See, that's the difference. That's what you got wrong.
No, like the...
Oh, no. It's over.
You could hear the crunching of bone and like the pain that like... Yeah, oh, yeah. Man, I wanted nothing to do with it. But like, I liked the finished makeup, so I was just like, okay, we're good. I don't have to watch that anymore. Bruce Banner turning into the Hulk was the same. Oh, nope. Yeah, so he's tearing through town.
You must really hate Caitlyn Jenner.
Well, you don't see it live. Like, you get the one thing, and then you get the finished product.
Yeah, that's what Joe is okay.
You see the in between.
So you love Caitlyn Jenner.
I mean, good luck. I hope everything works out for you as well. So the Wolfman's tearing through everybody, and they end up in this abandoned warehouse, I guess. So the dad is going to throw a stick of dynamite at Dracula, who he has shot.
Oh, let's go. By the way, that was one other part. There's two parts of this movie I was like, oh my God. One, Dracula and his liberal use of dynamite.
Yeah, there's a lot of dynamite in this movie.
So you're Lord of the Undead.
Yes.
So in your arsenal of
powers,
weaponry and powers.
Yeah.
Dynamite.
I'm like, I did. Like, the, now that when I, every time I rewatch it, I was like, why? why does he have dynamite? That one doesn't make any sense.
That's what really makes the movie fall apart for me is the dynamite.
That's a moment. Okay, you know what? And then in that single instance, I think where we got Fred Decker and Shane Black kind of probably were at odds.
He's Lord of the Undead. Nah, dynamite.
Dynamite, man.
Blow up, man. We need some explosions. We're contractually obligated to have two decent explosions.
They gave us a $12 million budget. We're going to put, it's going to be up on the screen.
I'm going to blow up that treehouse.
Don't blow up that treehouse. I did think it was funny when, so they kill the dad's partner.
Yeah.
And I was like, was he 2 weeks away from retirement?
Of course.
Because I feel like that
has
was.
Has to be.
Yeah.
We got to die out of the toilet. And he did say, I'm getting too old for this.
Yeah, they kill him, but that's okay. Everybody be happy anyway.
Yeah, right. We're it's fine.
Yeah, body count.
Right, yeah.
But yeah, so there's Dracula, you know, with dynamite. I was like, oh, man.
Yeah.
That's so not Dracula-esque.
No.
Like,
That was a weird one. So Rudy is fighting off the brides of Dracula with the stakes that he had carved since he's so...
Where did they come from?
I don't know.
They were in... Yeah, I know.
So, like, they kill the one in the beginning, and I always feel like he's got, like, a plethora. Like, in any story I've ever seen, he's always got, like, some...
Yeah.
Like, a harem of women around him.
It's usually three.
Yeah. And, that's always the part about Dracula that I've never... Like, the romantic Dracula... Like, it just does not work. Like, Bela Lugosi's Dracula, I think, is
But if you read the
thing,
original book,
that's what it is.
Big,
yeah.
That is it.
But, like...
It's how he draws them in.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. But, yeah, like, Bela Lugosi's, I think, stands on its own as just, like, one of the greatest of all time. But what was the... who?
Coppola's
is a weird...
Gary
book,
Oldman.
But it's... Yeah, Gary Oldman.
It's way closer to the book.
With British Keanu.
Is the castle far?
Sorry. I like what Coppola did with that movie, which was he used a lot. I mean, it's all in camera effects. So he was like, I want to make it like they made it, Universal made it. So he doesn't want to do, like, as far as optical tricks and CGI.
See.
Like, he kept it true to, which is why you get, like, the fake shadow of somebody else, you know. When they're
that Simpsons episode, still one of my favorites.
But you know, it's. I mean, so Coppola, like, I give him kudos for like keeping it true to that style of filmmaking.
Yeah.
I actually like that.
Yeah, I think it's. Too.
Please, Bart. I've seen your stupid Shemp. I've seen your Curly too.
But
So man. Okay. So the dad ends up shooting vampire bat. Dracula, and he flies into this window. So the dad runs upstairs and he's got the stick of dynamite and he's gonna blow up Dracula. And I liked the
because there's dynamite land everywhere in this town.
Yeah,
one
just all over the
problem
place.
The property values are so low in this town because of the dynamite is rampant.
No, this town is famous for dynamite production. Like, that's how they all have jobs.
You know how
all...
you got like the Kellogg plant and like Battle Creek. Like, this place is the Acme Dynamite Company.
It is.
So he runs up to this building and he's gonna
also have anvils.
Lots of anvils, random flying suits, rocket skates, the whole
rocket
thing.
Skates, tunnels that aren't there.
But then are there.
Yeah.
Right.
They move.
Depends on how good you paint.
Yeah.
So, and this is like, I like this costume, this makeup where he's like half bat, half man.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have to say that you like certain elements of this movie. We know you do.
I know. I just like, I think.
We understand.
Yeah. Okay. So he's going to blow him up and then he gets attacked by the Wolfman.
Yeah.
And then his son shows up and hits him with a pipe and a la Batman. This is where Tim Burton got the idea. It's like he shoves a piece of dynamite down the Wolfman's pants and throws him out a window and blows him up. Into pieces.
Blew those nards right off.
Yeah, blew those nards right off.
He's still alive, but it doesn't kill him. Yeah.
So, yeah.
Okay, I get that silver bullets kill, but I would also think...
Once you dismember a werewolf?
I would also think werewolf shrapnel would be an indicator that he's probably done.
He called it a day.
Well, this is where Bob Barker got his idea for spare neuter your pets. Right. So
he was like, did you see that Monster Squad movie? We should just blow him up.
He's reassembling, like, Werewolverine.
That's pretty good.
I would trademark that, but I don't think I can
because
Marvel probably would beat me to at least the Wolverine.
They got Wolf Cap, they got Werewolf, you know, the whole shebang. All the werewolf characters. Wolfman ends up putting himself back together somehow, which is like, again, I love werewolf movies. That's a power I've never seen. Like, that's not the same deal as like, you were just like, his feet and arms went everywhere. I don't think that's
how that works. They're making liberal use
of... Like, you have to kill him a certain way, otherwise you can't kill them at all.
There's liberal use of canon here.
Right. And who shoots the... Because Rudy makes the bullets. So who shoots him?
Yeah. He's smelting silver.
Right.
Wow. Yeah. Wow. You know.
Well, the other guy's making business cards. Right.
The other guy's making business cards.
Where did he get the silver?
But, you know, he stole like silverware.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
But
so somebody ends up shooting the Wolfman, and of course Uncle Rico's like, "Thank you," and dies. Yeah. But any person that the werewolf bit or scratched should have become a werewolf.
Yeah, but they didn't want to. They didn't get into that.
Like, now we've got a town
keep it
full
for the sequel.
Right, now we've got a town full of werewolves. Yeah. So this is Monster Squad Part 2 is against a town full of werewolves. And then Dracula. So the entire time, the 17-year-old girl has to recite this incantation
because
she's a virgin.
Right. Ostensibly,
right?
She but it says, turns out hand stuff counts.
Apparently, yeah. Well, no, I think she's.
I'm just kidding.
So they say the incantation and nothing happens. And the kid, their brother's just like, "I thought you said you were a virgin." And she's like, "Well, there was that one time with Andy and
it doesn't count."
Doesn't count. So they
end up,
they end up taking Phoebe, and creepy German guy walks her through the incantation. Mm-hmm. She says it. Dracula shows back up, and the entire time Frankenstein has gone missing. Like, the monster has just disappeared from...
Yeah, but, which is fine, because they've completely neutered the character to make him
sort of... I hear what you're saying, but, like, it's not the same. It's not the Phoebe.
Sorry. Oh, God. Dude, that was only the icing on the turd cake after... I'm going to say it right now. When... The girl finishes. Dracula grabs the girl by the throat. He calls her a bitch. The little girl.
Yeah.
You know, and then, more Shane Black-isms there.
Right. Frankenstein grabs Dracula by the back of the neck.
Yeah, I think it's weird to call little girl a bitch. I just have never seen that in a movie before.
No, you've never had to deal with him.
Yeah. But there have been, look, man, mine's five, and there have been times where I was like, "Oh, you mother."
It's just weird in a movie. I've never seen like an adult call a little child a bitch. I just never seen it. I was like,
"Well, now you have."
But it's okay because they got the hole opened.
They did.
And
the space butthole.
The space butthole. And then here comes Van Helsing. He's been waiting.
That was always
Dracula.
The weird part. I was like, what?
And then he does. And then he seals what my takeaway from this movie is he gives the thumbs up.
I know.
Thumbs.
Was that a thing in the 1800s?
I was like, all right. This visually sucks.
Yeah. He's been floating around in the space butthole.
Thumbs up, you guys.
You guys did a great job.
Double guns.
Yeah. Pew, pew.
Pew, pew, pew.
I guess we double crossbows.
I guess it would be, yeah.
He gives up the thumbs up.
Yeah.
And then, poor
Frankenstein's monster. Frankenstein's monster gets sucked into the portal as well.
Yeah.
But what I didn't understand, and maybe it's my limited knowledge of horror movies, but Dracula dies because he dies on a gate post? That's not wooden.
I felt like cast iron was always another thing that they could use. Hmm. Like, as long as you got stabbed in the heart.
Right.
Why do you have wooden stakes then? Why does
If you can just kill him with iron or silver, there's so many different. Yeah. So like, you can cut his head off. You could set him on fire. Mm-hmm. You can put a stake through his heart.
Yeah.
I feel like
because I'm like, it's not a silver.
No, but
gatepost.
What movie was it where was it Reservoir Dogs where they were arguing about Silver killing he's like, no, that's a werewolf.
Yeah.
Was that Reservoir Dogs where they're sitting around the table?
Silver's werewolves. But it's like, I just didn't get that you could kill Dracula with an iron fence post.
I
thought it was always a wooden stake.
But also, if you watch From Dusk Till Dawn, they're just pulling people's hearts out and like setting them on fire.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So like, there's no...
A pencil.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
A pencil.
Yeah. Or the stakes from the table.
Is it Richard Roundtree?
No, it's Jim Brown.
Jim Brown takes the. He's holding the heart, and he like only has a pencil, so he just goes.
That's a fun one too.
Movie.
Yeah, that's a lot of fun.
That's a much better movie.
All right, take it easy. so the movie ends, and the National Guard shows up because the other guy's little brother wrote a wrote a letter to them on like crayon, and I don't know what.
And apparently the mail was way faster
and
than
very fast, and they
back
show
the postal service was really going at it,
and they didn't deliver on Sundays back then.
Do you guys have any business cards on you by chance?
Oh my god,
I do.
Here it comes. It's like after
how
the
do we get a hold
up,
of you if we need to.
I'm like, can they
we're the
make this one? Yep.
And that's how it ends.
And then the rap.
Right.
And then they stand there and like celebrate and high five and hug while like as if
body parts
as if people. As if handing the business card to the military was the crowning achievement
right.
of the evening.
Yeah. Yeah. We did it! Like the
we there. Formed an LLC, motherfucker!
Yeah.
I told you these cards would pay off.
I told you.
You guys thought I was just doing nothing during the montage, and I was making these business cards.
Yeah, so I found them.
Yeah, they never would have found them.
How would they find them again?
Oh, my God.
And that's how it ends. So, you know, this is. I love this movie so much. I don't care what anybody says.
I know you do.
Yeah.
This it's the longest an hour fine. And 22 minutes of my life.
yeah, there you go. So we got that. We got it out there.
Glad we got that out.
We got it out of our system. So, I'm sure there'll be jokes later.
No, I don't know if I want to even like mentally bring it up to myself again.
Yeah. No, so you're gonna do
there's,
it.
Yeah, I'll be like,
there it is.
Oh, there's a Monster Squad joke. Too bad I don't want to think about it.
So I know it's a Halloween episode. Do you have a?
Yeah, a Night of the Creeps. Watch that one. It's a Fred
or
Decker
House?
Movie. Or
House is a good one.
House is a great movie.
Is that the one with John
Richard Mull and William Catt?
Isn't one of the guys from Cheers in that one?
George Wendt is also in
George Wendt. He's the neighbor.
Who's the guy who played Slinky Dog?
That is Jim Varney.
Okay,
Slinky
no. So how about
Ernest? Come on.
You're thinking of John Ratzenberger.
Who's in House 2?
Who's in House 2,
okay.
The second
but,
story.
But in the first one,
they, greatest subtitle for a sequel ever.
The in the first house, what I like is that they have an undead being, and he figures out, and it's one of the few movies where they actually, it's like, what do you do with that thing? Because it's undead. He chops it up and spreads it out everywhere. Yeah. Like, you see him bury all the little parts, and it's like, right, there you go. It's
of
not
going
to come back.
Yeah, right.
It's not going to reform.
The like scene where he's beaten in the head with a shovel while the neighbor's, like, he's trying to do it while the neighbor's not looking. That's...
Yeah.
It's a very funny movie.
It's a fun movie, Lost in Time. But yeah, I watched, I'm like, I'm going to watch another Fred Decker movie, which was Night of the Creeps.
Has
it
he
has
done
a lot
else?
Of the same. He has.
He's
but
writing
can't.
The new Predator script.
Fred Decker or Shane Black?
Fred Decker, according to IMDb.
Maybe they're
Predator. I know that Shane Black, so with the success of Iron Man 3.
Or is he directing it? Maybe they're co-writing it?
I think Shane Black is directing.
And he went back in time and was like gonna hook up a buddy.
Yeah, I think
is very much of the same world and feeling as this movie. I just think it has a more
cohesive.
Yes,
there you go.
According to this, Shane Black is directing the next Predator.
I thought
it
was. Yeah,
Fred Decker and Shane Black are writing it.
Yeah.
Maybe we'll get Tom Atkins in it. That's what this movie didn't have.
You
enough
know what?
Tom Atkins.
If there was some more Tom Atkins.
If there was Tom Atkins in this movie, I probably would have been a little bit, you know.
Tom Atkins always makes something better.
Tom Atkins is awesome.
He's a great actor.
And Night of the Creeps, I was watching it as like, they really, really try to get this like catchphrase that this character has. And they keep trying it. Like, every time it comes on, it's like, yeah, it's not working, man. And he keeps saying, thrill me. And you're just like, yeah, okay,
he's
said
trying
that like
to do
seven
his,
times in this movie, and it's just not... It's his,
they're trying to turn him into Kojak.
It's not happening.
They had the t-shirts all ready to go.
Yeah, like, they're like, this is so going to be a catchphrase for the 80s.
Ironic trucker hat.
Yeah, right.
Like, it's just not...
Yeah, Halloween. But. He's in Halloween 3, which is...
I love that movie.
That gets slammed because it's not a Michael Myers movie.
Don't think of it as... I mean, think of it as... what
Season of the Witch.
The first... anthology series, which I wish would have happened. I think Carpenter was onto something.
It would have been interesting.
So there's your Halloween episode.
Yeah,
I guess it's official that Monster Squad sucks.
It does not suck.
We
suck.
We've established that.
Yeah.
So if you like to walk back in time with sexual assault,
homophobia,
body shaming.
Yeah.
Yes.
So this is what I want you to do when this episode
mean spirit.
When this episode comes out, I want you to
child pornography.
Yes.
She's not a child. She's 17.
She's under 18.
Anti-Semitism.
And he has photographs of her presumably naked.
I don't think
underage smoking.
Yes.
Yeah.
Tobacco use.
Yeah.
Eating
Snickers
food,
eating
off
food
the
off
ground.
The ground. gross.
Over the 5 second rule. Yeah. That's just.
I want to. So when this episode comes out, I'm this is going to suck if it backfires, and it very well might. Like, if you love this movie, I want to hear it. I want you to post on the wall. I want you to post on the episode.
That's fine.
I want you to. I want to hear.
Because like, I need some degree of
vindication. But I also want to know like your age range. Like that's where I'm interested.
I openly acknowledge it. I think that, you know, I can tell that when I saw this when it came out on home video, yeah. And I was like, yeah.
So close.
When it came out, what was it?
87 was 87? When it came out. Okay, theater, so probably like 90. No,
it
like
would have been like 80, 87, 88, 89. So at that point, yes, I was 21.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, no. Yeah, I'm like, no.
Yeah. I was like 6 or 7.
Yeah.
And it was...
So, it just... Sorry, man.
Yeah. No, hey, I knew what I was getting myself into. Like, I know I opened that
you,
door.
Hey, you love it all.
I do.
I'm going to change all their minds.
I never thought for one
definitely,
second. You, I'm surprised.
Yeah.
Like, I thought for sure you would dig it, but
I think if he would have seen it when...
If he saw it when he was a kid, yeah. Maybe,
probably so, would.
Yeah.
But, well, I guess let's go around the table and everybody can say where to find it.
This is Dan, and I do not like Monster Squad. You can find me at DanGraney67 on Twitter, GRANEY.
This is Joe. You can also follow me on the Twitter at Joey Butts, BUTTS21.
This is Kevin. Follow me on Twitter at Kevin R. Brackett.
And this is Tom. You can follow me on Twitter at Roger Kubert or on Facebook at Facebook.com/Tom O'Keefe. If you would like to continue the conversation online and tell Joe how wrong he is about this movie, you can do that at Facebook.com/Real Spoilers. You can also join the League of Show Sharers while you're there. And you can also subscribe to the show on iTunes. You can go there, rate, review, and of course subscribe. It greatly helps us and we greatly appreciate it. So that's it for this episode. Coming up next time, we will tackle Inferno. They made another one of these things.
Yeah,
who knew? So
is he younger, is he older, what does hair look like in this one? All these questions,
they will be answered. All that and more on the next episode of Soap. No.
Dracula with dynamite. Seriously.
So that's it. And, until next time, you've been warned. In 100 years, in the darkest night, the forces of evil come out to fight. The amulet they must destroy, or stand forever in the darkest void. Who can stop their deadly might? Who will stand up for the right? From the mouth of babes comes dynamite. The Monster Squad gonna groove tonight. First came Dracula, now the Wolfman too. Mummy and the creature from the Black Lagoon. We need silver bullets, we need wooden stakes. Normal stuff won't stop, cause they live on hate. Speak some magic words from a virgin's lips. Maybe that'll shake him, make him slip and trip. There's no turning back, gotta fight the fight. Yeah, the Monster Squad gonna jam tonight. Monster Squad. And the forces of evil better run and hide. Monster Squad.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.